Father, we give you praise. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the privilege to be gathered in your name once again. And Lord, even as we learn at your feet, do something powerful in our lives in the name of Jesus. Open our eyes to see all that you want us to see. Transform our hearts to become all that you want us to become. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. May please be seated, everybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. One of the marks of a good church is that as you grow in every other thing, you must grow in your knowledge of God. Are you with me? You must grow in your knowledge of Christ. Your understanding and your perception of the things of the Lord must increase. Are you with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. What is our vision in Newbury Christian Community? If you've ever heard it before, recite it with me. We envision a generation with a passion for the glory of Christ, representing the whole counsel of God. What's the vision of Newbury Christian Community? We envision a generation with a passion for the glory of Christ, representing the whole counsel of God. So, one of the ways we know that we are doing what God has sent us to do is when we have a generation who have been raised with a passion for the glory of Christ. Amen. Amen. And what is our mission? Recite with me. We are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's take it again. 1, 2, 3, go. We are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, they say where the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. So you see, we understand our purpose very well. So amongst many things that we do, yes, we are a miracle ministry. Yes, we are a ministry that talks about faith. But you see, discipling the saints is sacrosanct. Are you with me? There must be services where you come and you learn more about Christ. You understand what is in the mind of God. Praise the Lord. You understand how God reasons. What is in the mind of Christ? You should understand it. And in this series, Sit, Walk, Stand, I have sanguished a special teaching to prepare us for the next phase. You know, for the past few Sundays and midweek services, we've been talking about seated, right? And so, I'm doing an important teaching along the way to help you get the next phase of what we'll be entering into. Are you with me? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. And so, today's service has been titled what? Bull's Eye. A bull's eye is the actual sports name for a target point when you are playing games that have to do with either throwing a dart or shooting an arrow, where you have a target point. Are you with me? And you know how good archer is, or you know how good someone uses the javelin by how much he can hit, with what precision he hits the bull's eye. However, this terminology evolved to become a way of expressing when something has hit its target. Are you with me? It's a word used to refer to the end point or the goal of an endeavor. So when someone asks, what's the bull's eye of this venture? They are asking, what is the goal or what is the target point of this project? Please, are you with me? So when we are saying, How do we know a venture has met its target? We are asking, what is the bullseye of this venture? Are you with me? In the same way, there is the bullseye of our faith. There are things you see in a man, and you will know that the work of Christ in that man has begun to hit the bullseye. Are you getting me? Please, are you with me? There are things you see in a man's life, and you will know that truly the work of Christ has begun to hit targets. Praise the Lord. And it's important I teach this. This is a very important teaching. It's just, you know, before I do a teaching, usually what I do is I'll prepare my notes, like when I'll study the Bible and find out what I believe the Bible is saying and check the Bible. And then when I'm done with that, the next thing I want to do is I want to hear what other authorities have said about it. Are you with me? So I try to go online and look for what ministers of the gospel have said. I discovered that on this topic, I found very little material on it. In fact, there may be pastors in Nigeria who may have taught this, but I did not see one single sermon on it from a pastor in Nigeria on this. Yes, people are always talking about this. Professors of theology, white professors, old pastors. These are important things. See, are you with me? Especially because of the way the Apostle Paul talked about it. He called it the hope of his calling. Glory. Ephesians 1 verse 15. Ephesians 1 from verse 15. I'll read all the way to verse 19. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Can you imagine? Paul, or the Apostle Paul, heard that a group of saints in Ephesus have gotten born again, and it was confirmed by their faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, and he began to pray for them that they will know. In fact, he prayed for them that God will grant them wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ by his Spirit. And when that wisdom and revelation in Christ by the Spirit comes to them, one of the very first things it will do is that their eyes of understanding will be enlightened. And their eyes of understanding being enlightened will be expressed in the fact that they will know, number one, the hope of his calling. How come many people don't know what that is? They will know the hope of his calling. Now, in Newbury Christian Community, you have heard me teach a lot about the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, right? So, what does it mean by that? It means, what are the things that have come into you because you are in Christ? Praise the Lord. What is your inheritance because you are in Christ? So, the riches of the glory of this inheritance that is in the saints. Are you with me? You may have also heard me talk a lot about the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. The kind of power that we have. Praise the Lord. But today I want to talk about the hope of his calling. Glory. And the first thing I need you to see is that this is a spiritual reality. It is something that you should take spiritually. Even as we teach, it is something that the Holy Ghost must unveil to your spirit man. Amen. God must open it to your spirit. Because Paul was praying that the Holy Ghost will help you understand it, that you will know what is the hope of his calling. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. There is understanding in the name of Jesus. Now, let's go back to Ephesians 1 verse 18. So midweek services like this is Bible study. You know, When I was praying for this service in the office, I felt like God was asking me a question. And the question goes to us, when are we going to manifest Jesus Christ? When? I don't know about many of you here, but I have a lot of books in my house. I have a library in my office. I have a library at home. And I've read a lot of those books, but there are some of them I've not read. And I feel like God asking me, when are you going to read them? I didn't want to teach this. I felt like I should teach something else. And the Lord was asking me, when are you going to teach it? If you don't teach it now, when will they hear it? When will they learn it? When will they understand it? And when will they manifest it? There are too many things that the average church goer today doesn't know. And I can't blame anybody. I will take responsibility for the flock God has given to me. Are you with me? And I'll teach it. And let me tell you something, eh? Anybody who is faithful to the teachings in New Breed, I can tell you, if you listen to all the teachings we have done thus far, you are fit to be a pastor. I'm telling you. Like, from 2019 to today, if you can embrace everything, who knows what I'm talking about? I have people who have never met me before. All they did, for their Christian journey, I mean, their whole Christian life, they just took this thing and began to listen, took the whole playlist. And then they start making sense like this, now I understand the Bible. Praise the Lord. And so, I feel the pressing from God. Some of the things I'm teaching now, some people are wondering, Pastor, where have all these things been? It's not like I've not known them since. I've known them, used them. But I feel a press from God right now. Jesus is coming to teach all this. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the first thing you need to see is that this kind of knowledge is a spiritual knowledge. To know the hope of his calling, the Greek word there, when he says in Ephesians 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. That word know there is idol, that you may become aware of the hope of his calling. So, what do we mean by the hope of his calling? We are saying the hope of Christ's calling is, what did Christ intend to achieve when he called you into his kingdom? Are you with me? Are you with me? You know, even that word is a mystery of his own. He says, I'm praying that you will know the hope of his calling. Because, like I said, that word means to be aware. How many Christians are even aware that there's something like that? Some of them are not aware of that at all. They don't even know the goal point of the Christian faith. How do you know that you're making progress in your walk with the Lord? How do you know? That's what we're talking about. How do you know? How do you know that the target of what Christ is doing in your life is making progress? Praise God. So, once again, what do we mean by the hope of his calling? The hope of Christ's calling refers to what Christ intended to achieve when he called you into his kingdom. When Christ called you into the kingdom of God, he had a hope. He had something he wanted to achieve. Do we get that? Do we get that? And it's not just his hope. It's also our hope. Praise the Lord. It's what we hope to achieve because we have been called into his kingdom. Hallelujah. So how do we know the hope of Christ calling for us? We have to go back to the scriptures. We go back to the scriptures to know the hope of Christ calling. You know, on a lighter note. when you go to the gym, what's the hope of your going to the gym? Is that you, somebody says six packs. That's the hope actually for some people. That's what they intend to achieve. Are you with me? For example, is to be fit. What's your hope of going to a wedding reception? No matter what they give you in that reception, if you don't eat, sometimes it's like they beat you. Ah, I did not get food. I've heard people talk like that before. It's paining them because the very intent for which they were called. Are you with me? So, what is the hope of Christ calling for us? What is the bull's eye when we examine a man's faith? What are the things we can look at and say, truly, the work of Christ in this man has begun to hit targets? Are you with me? Because there are some people, they don't really know what to check for. Some people believe that you're only a serious Christian when you can talk about spooky encounters. Do you know that people like that? They believe that, this guy is a correct Christian when he can tell us that he went into the third heaven, he flies on the clouds with the Lord. You know, some kind of spooky things. And there's some correlation between that and some of the things that we say. But that in and of itself cannot be described. Are you with me? You know, when I was growing, I'm still growing spiritually, but at some point in my Christian journey, I met some guys who told me that there is a realm in the spirit called teleportation. And that is a realm where the Holy Ghost can carry you from here. And you will move from here, maybe like if you're in Abuja, you will disappear from Abuja and appear in Lagos. And I believe them. Until one day I was studying the Bible. I studied the Bible. And I discovered that it was Philip that was teleported. Are you with me? In Acts chapter 8, he was carried. But Philip was not praying for it. He was not trying to enter that realm called teleportation. Do we believe in the gift of the Spirit? Of course we do. Do we believe in signs and wonders? Of course we do. Do we believe in supernatural things? Of course we do. But you see, there is a biblical emphasis. If you are not careful, you can stray away from the biblical emphasis into spiritism. Are you with me? Philip was not trying to teleport. What did Philip do? God told him, go and evangelize. He went to evangelize and he teleported. Those people, you will tell some of them, go and evangelize, and they will not. They will not. Are you with me? I remember when the Lord told me, you cannot claim to want to reach the world for me and you have not reached your neighbor. We would take the cities for Jesus and your estate has not even been taken. your estate. Two people in your estate cannot say you preach to me. Look at the Bible. So I was like, look at the Bible. You are still shy to talk to your colleague about Jesus. Then you want to talk to kings. Nations are waiting. People... Your estate is waiting. Are you with me? Your office, they wait. Your neighborhood are waiting. Praise the Lord. And so, I feel like one of the things God has given to me is to train the saints to walk into the things they are prophesied about. I believe so. Because if I'm not trained, you will never see it. Some of the things I'm going to share with you, they may look very simple, but that's the secret. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, what is the hope of his calling? How do we know the hope of his calling? Let's examine the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be, by the grace of God, a brief Bible study. And we'll learn and go home. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3 to 6. Can everybody read with me? 1, 2, 3, go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 4. Now pay attention to verse 4 to verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. I'm not hearing your voices. Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. In these three verses, we can see the hope of his calling. So let's take it slowly. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that... Are you with me? So he chose us before the foundation of the world to the intent that... So that, to produce this, so that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. So let me unpack these three verses to you. To reveal to you, there are three major things that you will see here. So he chose us in him to achieve some things. Number one, he chose us in him to have the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So I'm going to arrange this in this way so that you will get it. What do we mean by the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself? It means that God wanted a family. Do we get that? God was in search of a family. He wanted children. But he wanted a kind of children. Praise the Lord. He wanted a family with children who carry his nature exactly the way Christ did. That's what it says, to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Have you ever wondered why does the Bible use adoption when it comes to children? Oh, glory to God. Now, you know the idea of adoption, right? So, someone was not your child naturally, but you can adopt him and he becomes your child because he has been adopted into your family, right? In the same sense, because of the sinfulness of man, we were, as it were, disconnected from God. So, we were not God's legitimate children. Are you getting me? But Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God because he was God made manifest in flesh. Are you with me? However, God wanted children like Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And so what he did was that he brought us into Christ so that because we are now in Christ, we are children of God after the order of Christ. So Christ is the firstborn and we all, we come after him. Do you get that? So why does the Bible use adoption? I'm going somewhere. That's why I had to say that first. In ancient times, the adopted children had more rights or even greater rights than the original children. Because when the original children are born, you don't determine their sex. You don't determine their skin color. You don't determine the birthmarks they come with. It just comes. Are you getting this? But you see, for the adopted children, they believe that Any child you adopted, you chose the child. So you chose his color. You liked the child, so you chose him. If you wanted a male or a female, you had the right to choose. Are you with me? So in the family structure of those days, the adopted children seem to have more weight. So when he says that he wanted children after the order of Christ and adopted us, what he's trying to say was that God really desperately wanted children and came as a man in flesh, as Jesus Christ, and made the prototype of the children he wanted and adopted us into him. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Except that me, I've been adopted into God's family. Glory. Romans chapter 8, from verse 28 to 29. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Do you see that? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Are you seeing this? Let me read it again. Romans 8, verse 28 to 29. And we know that all things work together for good that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So he wanted children like Jesus Christ. So God did not want another Moses. He did not want another Elijah. He did not want another prophet. Are you with me? He wanted more Jesus Christ. And so when Christ was born again as the firstborn from the dead, we began to take after that pattern. Are you with me? So after what Christ did, Christ made the way for more children like him to be created and born for God. Praise the Lord. So this means that, number one, God wanted a family. Say after me, God wanted a family. So the hope of Christ calling, bringing us into his kingdom, is that, number one, we will become a part of God's family. But family is for something. He wanted us to be part of God's family for fellowship. Say after me, fellowship. Say it again, fellowship. So the family was not just for the sake of, oh, I have a tag, I'm part of the family of God. No, it is that those who are part of God's family are also part of those who fellowship with God. Say after me, fellowship. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This may not seem like a big deal to you, but it's a big deal. It's a big deal. There is a level to which, no matter how you love your dog, you cannot fellowship with your dog beyond that level. No matter how you love a monkey as a pet, you cannot fellowship with the monkey beyond a certain level. I don't know. I know some people claim that their dogs are their best friends. It's a lie. No matter how you want to tell me, it's a lie. So you sit with your dog now and tell the dog, I don't like the way my boss spoke to me in the office. And the dog is looking like you and saying, woo, 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 woo. You tell the dog, right now, I wish I can just call my mother. And the dog is replying, woo, woo, woo. Are you with me? No matter how much you want to fellowship with your dog, there is a certain level that you cannot go beyond. No matter how much fellowship with the whatever pet, there is a certain level you cannot go beyond. It has to be somebody in your class. Are you with me? Somebody that can reason like you. Somebody that can feel like you. Somebody that can communicate with you like you. Are you with me? That's the same way God had to bring us to his class by bringing us into children. Are you with me? That by adopting us into children by Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. So God brought us into divinity where he can fellowship with us by bringing us into Christ. So when he had children after the order of Christ, he now had people that he can fellowship with the way he fellowship with Christ. Have you ever heard Jesus say things like, the same way I and the Lord had fellowship before he came to the earth, he wants us to have fellowship with the Lord that way. Have you heard scriptures like that? Okay, let me read something to you. Look at John chapter 14. John 14 verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if you remember, this was when he was going to die. Are you with me? You know, that first verse already should tell you that it's not a normal house or mansion. You know, they used to say, Julius Berger is in heaven constructing houses, that there are blocks in heaven, that right now they are building bungalows, three-bedroom flats, duplexes. Who has heard things like that? How would they carry the cement there? Like, with what tipper? How will he move cement upstairs? What am I saying upstairs? From earth, carry cement to heaven. When they say, in my Father's house are many mansions, that already tells you there is a problem. They're supposed to be there. In my Father's mansion, there are many houses. But now we're saying, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. It's telling you that it's not your normal way of reasoning house and mansions. Are you with me? So what they were saying, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. In my Father's family, there are many opportunities for sonship. Are you with me? In my Father's house, there are many opportunities for you to become part of his family. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. What was he going to prepare a place for? What does that verse mean? It meant that he was going to make it possible for us to have access to those places in God's heart. Are you with me? He was going to make it, by his death, burial, and resurrection, he was going to make it possible that natural men cannot become part of God's family. Are you with me? Are you with me? It says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What does that mean? That where I am, there ye may be also. What does that mean? It means this level of sonship I have with God, I will come and receive you, that where I am, in God's family, you can be also. Do you get it? Praise the Lord. I go and prepare a place for you. So I am going to die. I am going to be buried. I will resurrect from the grave so that where I am, this place I have in God, you also can have this place in God. Do you get it? That where I am, ye may be also. Glory. Listen, intimacy with God is such a big deal that Christ had to die. He had to be buried and resurrect. Every time you have the opportunity to worship God, to pray, and you can communicate with God, it's a privilege given to you. Are you with me? See, we know you are growing by the way you handle your devotion with God. Now, is it getting closer? We know that you are becoming mature, or the work of Christ is beginning to enter you when you take your intimacy with God very serious. Many of you don't know how important this is. Try it. Have you ever stayed a day before without praying? By evening, you feel somehow. It's like the Holy Ghost is tugging you. You know why? That is why he died. He shed his blood to bring you to where he is. If you go further in John chapter 14, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you know what that means? Anybody who has come through Jesus is now with the Father. Some of you do not get it. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. That means if you have come through him, or if you have come by him, where are you right now? You are with the Father. Say after me, I'm with the Father. So God believes every time you wake up, every time you are alert, you are with him. Whether you are conscious of it or not, you are with him. That means intimacy with God, fellowship with God is a very serious thing. Fellowship with God, intimacy with God, it's a very serious thing. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. What does it mean you were called unto the fellowship of his Son? It means the same kind of fellowship that Jesus had with God, you have been called unto it. Are you with me? When you got born again, God brought you to that place of fellowship that Jesus had with him. Do you get it? When you understand this, you will not play with prayer time again. When we call for service, have you ever wondered, why does it, we gather on Sunday? We will not gather on Wednesday again. We will not gather on Sunday again. See, do you know what church services are? Where the gathering of the people who have been called into intimacy. God looks forward to it that my children are coming again. They are coming again. They are coming together. When you begin to despise that kind of meeting, God believes that you are still a child. You are still a child. The meeting of those who have been called out of the world unto intimacy with God are gathering. Are you with me? It's a very important gathering for the Lord. So much so, he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. I am there. So we know that the work of Christ has entered you. You are beginning to get the point of his calling. When you begin to take your fellowship with God seriously, you will know that he knows that the hope of why he saved you, you are beginning to get it. How can you see this? Let me tell you something. Do you know how serious this is? How can you claim to have fellowship with God and you want to take a step in your life and you don't talk to him? I want to ask you a question. Have you ever felt or been in a situation like this? Let's assume you are into building materials and you had a friend who wanted to build a house. He knows that you are a professional in this thing, and let me even take it further. You own 50 to 60% of all the building materials in Abuja. He wanted to build in Abuja, and you just discovered that he's building and they did not tell you. Then later on, you found out that they cheated him there. And then you find out, you'll be like, why didn't you come to ask me? Who has been something like that? Why didn't you come to ask me? You have the right to assume it's either he doesn't send you. He doesn't see his connection with you as anything. Like, you are my brother. You are getting into something like this, and you don't even care to ask me that's in charge of this place. That means you don't value my relationship with you. When you are going about your life as a Christian and your intimacy with God is not priority to you, you are still a child. You wake up in the morning. You just wear clothes. You go out. No prayer. You the whole day, 24 hours, no prayer. Church service, it's probability. It doesn't mean anything to you. God, you don't get the point. Are you with me? Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I will value my intimacy with God. In the name of Jesus, I will value my contact with God. Some of you, if you have someone who is in presidency, who works in maybe the Aso Rock or something like that, your parents will be telling you, I hope you are calling down your uncle. Be keeping in touch. Who knows what I'm talking about? They say, be keeping in touch. Oh. Just call him and say, how are you doing? Be keeping in touch. You say, you cannot have that kind of contact and you don't prove that you are connected. Show them that you have God. Hey, you have God inside of you and you ignore it and walk away. That means, why did you don't get the point why he died and gave you his spirit. Put his spirit. He so wanted to be close to you. He's put his spirit inside of you. Are you with me? Let me give you an assignment. Between now and the end of this year, make sure you give yourself to prayer till you hear God. Let me say, God does not talk to me. God does not talk to me. Do you talk to God? Because if you talk to him long enough, he will talk back to you. Oh, yes. He will talk back to you. Even when you claim that, you are not hearing God, has it not happened to you before? You started praying in tongues. You started remembering many things. It's as if you just prayed in tongues. One tap just opened. Everything that is coming, you know, when I do practicals on things like this, I like to do practicals. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm hearing God. What if it's just my mind? What if it's just my thoughts? I say, okay, let me tell you what to do. Take a 30-day challenge. Pray in tongues every day. Everything you get, anything that crosses your mind, write it down. The next day, pray in tongues for 1 hour. Anything that crosses your mind, write it down. I am telling you, in 15 days, you see a pattern. There will be things that was repeated every day. You just know, okay, this is what God is saying. 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 Are you with me? Sometimes it's just be hanging instructions in your mind. Why is that in there? Call this person. Call this person. Call this person. Don't joke with it. So we know that you are growing when you take your intimacy with God serious. Praise the Lord. Everything that brings you to greater intimacy, you take it serious.
Hallelujah.
So when a man is intimate with the Lord, when a man is strong in fellowship with the Lord, the hope of Christ's calling is being fulfilled. Number two, if you read Ephesians 1 from verse 4, there's a way I arranged it so that you get the point. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Say after me, holy and blameless before God in love. Have you ever seen a verse like James 1 verse 27? James chapter 1 verse 27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Now, do you notice the same tenses before God? Are you with me? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So, this whole thing of fatherless and widows in their affliction, this charity, being charitable is one of the things that God salutes. But that's not all. He talks about being unspotted from the world. I know that we are living in a day. I want to ask you a sincere question. When last did you hear that verse opened? There's something that called being unspotted from the world. I don't know. Some will say that if grace preachers, I'm a grace preacher, but you cannot preach grace if the grace you are preaching makes people to still be soaked and dipped in the world. My brother, it's not Bible grace, sir. Are you with me? There is something called being unspotted from the world. Do you know what that means? It means that God wants you to get to a point that when they look at you, they cannot trace any any form of infringement of the world upon you. Hi! What kind of holiness is that? It's possible, oh. Are you with me? I hope you know it's possible. Tell them you're unspotted from the world. But you see, God does not want us to live a life of holiness in grudge. Remember Ephesians 1 verse 4. He says, according as he chose us in him, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So he wants us to be so in love with him that it will drive us to holiness. Are you with me? Not having a list of commands of do's and don'ts that we are grudgingly obeying. Are you with me? He wants us to love him so much. Are you seeing that this is an overflow of intimacy with God? He wants us to love God so much. Eh? He wants us to be so in love with him that it will produce holiness. It will produce blazing holiness. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 to 16. It says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which had called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. So, God wants us to be reflectors of his nature. And a major part of his nature is that God is holy. See, holiness is not even just about, you know, the first level of holiness people understand is, okay, don't commit this, don't commit this. Holiness is actually the result of separation. Let me give an example. God is so separate that he has to stand alone. Have you ever... Something happened when I was in secondary school. Something happened to me. Some of you have heard me give that story where I was reading for... Do they still do it in secondary schools? They call it mock exam. Where they will simulate an exam that looks like the actual WAEC, West African Examination Council exam, and give you. So, we did something like that for our chemistry exams, and it was over 200. And I read so much for that exam. I read so much and prayed so much because I was scared of failing. In fact, in my school that time, nobody, before my set, nobody had had even a D in chemistry. The best student in chemistry before my set was E. So it was as if it was a course. We began to pray about it. Like, we began to pray about it because it was as if it was a spiritual thing. Like, what is the problem? Why are we failing chemistry in this school? So I read so much and prayed about it so much, I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw a man dressed in white. Gave me a piece of paper and told me to write. He started telling me, write about carbon and its compound. So I was writing. Combustion assemblage, writing C plus O equals to CO, CO plus O equals to CO2. Like that. I just kept on going, the carbon with silicon, and I just kept on almost 15 equations. So I woke up from the dream and wrote the equations down. Who remembers Ababio? Yes, so Osei, you're Ababio. Ah, that book, so heaven and hell in my hand. My Jesus. Oh, Jesus. So I had read and God actually now gave me a revelation. So I went to write. That exam was over 200. First question, 45, is it 45 or 50 marks compulsory? List out the equations for the combustion assemblage from carbon and its compounds. You know when you just look at the question and just say, if God before you, who goes that man? If God... I just felt like saying, oh, you know who I am? Celebrate grace. So I wrote, when the result came out, I had 180 over 200. The next person had 100. No, the next person had, okay, yes, 100. The next person after that person had 80. The rest were under. My teacher called me. Engineer Eni Oko, he called me. He said, David, what happened? He said, sit down, tell me what happened. He knew I was here. Then they already knew me as a man of God. So when I narrated to him, he looked at me and said, wow. He said, because this, I made sure this exam was so tough that nobody, so that if anybody passes this, I know he will do well in the final exam. He said, how? He said, right now, on this exam, it should be called your holiness. You know what holiness is? You are so separate, they have to keep you a different place. So when every other person is getting 50 over 200, 55 over 200, 70 over 200, 80 over 200, somebody now has 180. That is His holiness. Do you understand? So when the Bible says God is holy, it is that there is nothing to compare Him with. Are you with me? You check all the gods, you check all the creatures, you check all the things that have existed in the universe and in the galaxies of this world. There is nothing to compare Him with. You just said, thou art holy. Do you understand? He's so separate, He has to be on His own. He's not telling you that God wants you to carry that kind of nature to the point where people look at you and say, your holiness. Do you get what I'm saying? That when the world wants to, they look at a man that has encountered Christ, there is nothing on the world they can use to liken unto Him. See, they should be looking at you and be saying, what manner of man are you? When everybody is, you know, they say things like something must kill a man. If he's either a womanizer or he's a drunkard or he's smoking, they now look at you. There is nothing they can use to. Who are you? Are you with me? When everybody is compromising in a certain direction, they meet you and no stain, no stress. Are you with me? Are you getting this? When you see a man walking in holiness in such a way that it is difficult for the world to have a hold on him, the bull's eye is beginning to get, are you with me? The work of Christ is beginning to hit bull's eye in his life. Praise the Lord. Say after me, holiness. You know what I'm doing? I'm just teaching you the Bible. I'm just teaching you the Bible. And God wants that kind of holiness to be a result of love. That is not that you are suffering in your, you are trying to, you know, some people look at Christianity as a bunch of things that is just making life boring. They look at Christianity like, this Christianity just makes everything boring. Somebody said Christianity is that religion that takes away the fun out of everything. I saw it online and I laughed. He said he likes Islam because Islam saw that, Kai, no. A man cannot stay with one woman. So they say you can marry four. He said, at least the religion is planning for you. They understand what is going through. But we will not come to Christianity and say, one, must you. The guy was saying, okay, now all these other ladies, who will marry them? I say, God will give them husbands. You know this kind of dirty reasoning. He said, so now, from all these people like this, I'll just take only one. No. Oh no, God, now you cannot, it doesn't make sense. No, there has to be more. Eh? Don't worry. There will be more gonorrhea, more syphilis, more, oh God, more headache. Go and ask people that have many wives. They are closer to the grave than to life. Hey God. Go and check. And God wants us to have this thing in love. He wants us to have this display of holiness that it is stemming from love. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Not stemming from, if I don't do it now, I will not make heaven. No, we are not trying to make heaven. We are born into heaven. Are you with me? You study the Bible. What does it mean? It says, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means when you get born again, where are you? You are with the Father. You are born into heaven. You live in heaven.
Some of you have not heard me teach concerning making heaven. Go and read the Bible. There is no place in the Bible says where the Bible says we are trying to make heaven. No, the Christian is not trying to make heaven. You were born there. That's where you began from. So if your Christianity, you are trying to live holy to bribe God to make heaven, you don't even get the point. Because God's plan is that those who are seated in heaven will act like we bring heaven on earth. Do you understand? The people who are seated in heaven ought to display heavenly culture on the earth. And that takes me to the next point. Number three. He says in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 4 to 5, he says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, everybody now. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. Read one more time with a loud voice. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. For the last time. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. It means that God wants everyone that has become part of his family, who is displaying his holiness, to be people who bring praise to him. And what I mean by bring praise to him is not just praising him in praise and worship, in terms of singing to him. It is that he wants manifestations from our life that give him praise. Let me read some verses to you. Okay. Let me read some verses to you. Look at Isaiah 43, verse 21. It says, these people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. If you notice, he did not say they will sing forth my praise. He says they will show forth my praise. It is that God wants our lives to be full of divine manifestations that cause men to praise him. It's just like a parent. You are sitting down in an award ceremony and they say, best in English, Princess Joy Ifedomale Ogunerubo. The baby comes out. Best in mathematics, Princess Joy Ifedomale Ogunerubo. The child comes out. Best in physics, Hadassah Aitosin Ayo Yusuf. Best in, then I say, best in music, Princess Joy Ifedomale Ogunerubo. Best in, after a while, by the time they share all the awards, two of us parents there, we're all looking at ourselves. All the other parents are saying, congratulations. Wow, I don't know what you did, but well done. Well done. You know what's happening? The children are doing, have done things that is bringing praise to us. Are you with me? They are showing forth works that is causing men to praise us. In the same way, God wants our lives to be full of so many manifestations that bring him praise. Are you with me? That's what it means when he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Meaning, people will look at our lives and say, ah, this has to be the grace of God. And first of all, even when we just talked about holiness, it also points to this. When people look at the kind of holiness you are walking in effortlessly, it will cause men to praise him. Are you with me? When people see the kind of signs and wonders in your life, when people see the prosperity in your life, they see the hand of God in your life, they see the flow of the anointing in your life. Are you with me? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Let me show you some more. Some more verses. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal glory. Oh yeah, everybody read it. 1, 2, 3, go. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him. Are you seeing this? Who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are you seeing that? Show forth is also used
the same way it was used in Isaiah 43, verse 21. Are you seeing that? It's not just sing, it's to show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So now that you have become a child of God, now that you have received Jesus Christ into your life, there are things people should see in your life and say, Kai, it is the hand of God. It's the hand of God. Are you getting me? It's the hand of God. It's the hand of God. It's the hand of God. Praise the Lord. Let me show you one more. It says, Matthew 5 verse 13 to 16, it says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under men. Now, look at that word, ye are the salt of the earth. Do you realize that? It did not say you are the salt of the church. But ye are the salt of the earth. Do you know what that means? It means that we come to church to receive our savoriness. But you see, if you gather too much salt inside one place, the soup can spoil. So after you receive your savor, you have to go out into the different departments of your life. The different departments of this world. In music, there is salt there. It will bring taste there. In entertainment, in industry. So just the same way you put a particular amount of salt in your food for it to become tasty, there's an amount of believers that should be sent to different parts of the world. Are you with me? To different parts of industry, to different parts of life and everything, to reveal this the sweetness of God. Praise the Lord. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Praise God. Praise God. He says, yeah, the light of the world. He says that I said on a hill cannot be hid. Cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and they give it light to all that are in the house. Verse 16, everybody, let your light so shine before all men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you get that? So you know a Christian is experiencing, is beginning to hit the bull's eye or the hope of Christ's calling when his life is beginning to raise testaments that cause men to glorify God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus performed the miracle. The Bible says, Matthew 9 from verse 8, it says, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Kai, I pray for us, that will be our experience. So, in a short while, people will look at the things in our life and say, ah, God, thank you for giving such power to men. There was a verse I was going to read, but I skipped it. Praise the Lord. Let me just read it to buttress what I was saying about holiness. Because it looks like I did not open so many verses there. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 5 to verse 9. It says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth not hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The context of the works of the devil in this group of verses is what? Sin. Are you with me? He says in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. Strong, strong statements, right? Strong. Praise the Lord. So if it's Bible, the Bible is saying that our lives should carry that blazing holiness. That will be your experience in Jesus' name. So, as a round off, let's start from beginning again. What are the three major things that summarize the hope of his calling, what Christ wants to produce in our life. Number one, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. And under that, we talked about family and fellowship. The family part, everyone who is born again already has that. Are you with me? But the fellowship part, many of us need to see here. See. You need to embrace it too. The Lord began to press on me. Prioritize morning devotion. You wake up in the morning, you pray. Pray in the spirit till you feel like something has shifted inside of you. And one of the ways to do that kind of prayer, you must not be distracted. If you are typing and praying, you will not, it's not concretized. Are you with me? If you are chatting and praying, it will not enter well. Check it now. Talk to your friend. Just be talking to your friend and you're scrolling on Instagram. Otherwise, what did you say? What did you say? What did you say? Oh, I missed what you said. And you that is talking, when you see that the person is scrolling on Instagram while you are talking, you are like, are you with me? Are you with me? If you really want to enter it, leave distractions and pray. Learn to take fellowship. See, when people, when we are worshiping, when they are singing, learn to raise your hand. Learn to prove to God that he means everything to you. When you begin to do that, the way the anointing of God will begin to rest upon you. The way the grace of God will begin to rest upon you, you will not even understand. You will go to places and you'll be wondering, what is happening? Are you with me? Number two. He has called us in him that we will be blameless and holy before him in love. God wants our lives to reflect his nature of holiness. Amen. And number three, to the praise of the glory of his grace. So, when our lives begin to produce manifestations that cause men to glorify God, the hope of Christ's calling is beginning to get manifested in us. Jump on your feet. Were you blessed? Begin to pray in the spirit right now. Pray fervently. Sharabanta kapalatu seketelia. Sharabanda gabalataka seketelia. Radogobu seketelia. The hope of Christ's calling is fulfilled in my life. The reason why he called me into Christ, the reason why he brought me into his kingdom, you can make declarations like this. My life reveals the glory of God. Oh, my life reveals the glory of God. I walk in signs and wonders. I walk in the miraculous. I walk in a greater flow of the Spirit. My life brings glory to God. Asarabande beleten kobarade sheketelia. Esarabanzetelia. Asalabarada gabala katelia. My life brings glory. My life brings glory to God. Shegede belegededesa. Oh, I walk in blazing holiness.